Today is November 15, 2010, and I am speaking with President David Maxwell. David Maxwell has served as president at Drake University since May 1999. Can you please tell me a little bit of where you were born and raised and how you ended up in the Midwest?
Sure. I was born in New York City and raised in the suburbs of New York, first in Westchester County and then on Long Island. Mm-hmm. And the first time I ended up in the Midwest was when I was 17 and came to Grinnell as an undergraduate. Went to Grinnell for 2 years, and then growing up in New York suburbs caught up with me, and I transferred to Princeton and hated it. and I think 2 years at Grinnell in the mid-60s had made me very intolerant of what Princeton still was in the mid-60s. It's a wonderful, wonderful place, but it was in the mid-60s, it was still sort of F. Scott Fitzgerald University, and so I very happily came back to Grinnell my senior year. And then went on to graduate school at Brown University in Russian literature and Slavic languages and literatures. And from there, a Fulbright in Moscow for a year in the middle of the Cold War, in the middle of the Vietnam War, to do research for my doctoral dissertation. And then got my first full-time faculty job at Tufts University in the Boston suburbs. And we were there for 18 years, 10 as full-time faculty and chair of the Soviet and East European Area Program and the Russian Language and Literature Program, and 8 years as what they call Dean of Undergraduate Studies, basically the Dean of the College of Liberal Arts. Okay. Went on from that to be president of Whitman College in Washington State, which is sort of the Grinnell of the Northwest, and from there got lured to Washington for 6 years, Washington, D.C., to be director of the National Foreign Language Center. One morning I got a call from the head of the education practice for Korn Ferry International, which is a huge executive search firm, saying, what do you know about Drake University? And I told him I knew a fair amount about Drake, considering its reputation, and he said, are you interested in being president? And they were in the middle of a search, fairly far along in the search, but I guess my name had come up, and so we began what is probably best described as a 4-month series of blind dates to see if we were right for each other. You know, interviews with successively larger committees, and until Maddie and I came out here for 3 days as finalists for the job for a campus visit, and wonderfully was offered the job and took it with great delight.
That's awesome. What made you choose Grinnell College?
Do you know that the choice of Grinnell was, I had my mother had three older brothers, and the oldest one, Martin, was an academic. He was chair of the New York University Music Department for years and years. And he was the self-appointed arbiter of my academic career. And when I was a senior in high school, and back when I was a teenager, people didn't think about where they were going to college till the fall of their senior year and start getting view books your sophomore year.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about college and looking at colleges. Martin called me up and said, you have to look at this Grinnell College out in Iowa. Everybody's saying it's one of the best liberal arts colleges in the country. So I flew out and spent three days there and saw why. And felt like it was the right place for me, and obviously felt like it twice since I went back for a second round to graduate. But I really give my Uncle Martin credit for I was applying at that point. I was looking at colleges on the East Coast, some of the liberal arts colleges, and Johns Hopkins, and a few others. But Grinnell just felt right, and it was.
That's really interesting that you chose Iowa or some of those, but. And then what made you choose, like, a Russian studies program? That's really interesting. A lot of us have talked about it in the FYS.
Really?
Yeah.
That came from two directions. I think one more obvious and overt than the other. When I was a senior in high school, my dad was a very successful jazz musician, jazz trumpet player. And toward the end of my senior year in high school, he was asked by the State Department to go as the first trumpet player for kind of an all-star band that was to be headed by Benny Goodman, who was a legendary big band leader. He was already old at that point. At least he that was my viewpoint when I was 17. He's probably younger than I am now, but you know, his heyday was in the late 30s and 40s, and this was 1962. But and my father had actually played with Benny in 39 through 41, and so he was asked to go with Benny in this kind of all-star jazz band of on a 7-week tour of the Soviet Union. And my father had he played mostly recordings in New York, and he was the first trumpet player in the Tonight Show for 10 years. So he didn't travel much because he had a family, but he insisted on the times that he did travel that he insisted on taking a member of his family with him. And it was actually my sister's turn to go on a trip, but she was having eye surgery, so my whole life changed because she was having eye surgery. I got to go on this trip to the Soviet Union, which in 1962, it's almost impossible to explain to someone of your generation. It was like saying to somebody that you're going to the moon. You know, some of my friends' parents didn't believe you could really do that. You know, that you know, it was this strange place on the other side of the Iron Curtain, that, you know, with Nikita Khrushchev threatening us with bombs and missiles, et cetera, et cetera. And so I went on the trip with my father. I missed my high school graduation, my senior prom. You know, I left school early with the full blessing of both my high school and Grinnell, where I'd be going in the fall. The only way that I could go was that Benny hired me as the band boy, because you couldn't just go, and things were very tight with visas. And it was just an incredible experience to be the age of 17, to be traveling around in this country that you only saw in Life magazine and Time magazine and the New York Times. And there was a guy who traveled with us the whole time named Terry Catherman, who was the cultural affairs officer at the embassy. And he was kind of the scout master for this group of jazz musicians to try to keep everybody out of trouble and keep everything moving. And I spent a lot of time with Terry, because the band was in rehearsal when they weren't performing, and so I got to talk to him a lot. And by the end of that trip, I wanted to be Terry Catherman when I grew up. It just seemed to me, you know, here we were in the middle of the Cold War with Kennedy and Khrushchev threatening each other with mutually assured destruction, and there's Terry Catherman sitting in Moscow sending the Bolshoi Ballet to New York and bringing the Benny Goodman Band to the Soviet Union. And that seemed to me to be a much better way of dealing with things than the way the other parts of the government were. So when I came to Grinnell, I was planning on majoring in chemistry and English. I was going to be a research chemist who wrote novels, not knowing much about either one of them. But I wrote Terry a letter and said, okay, if I want to do what you do, what should I major in college? And I got the wonderful liberal arts answer of study everything you can. You never know what you're going to have to deal with in this job. But I did, I took a Soviet literature course my freshman year and then started studying Russian at Columbia University the summer after my freshman year, and then continued it at Grinnell and Princeton and then back at Grinnell with the full intention of going into the diplomatic corps. I became a what they call a Russian area studies major, which was literature, language, economics, politics, and history. By my senior year, two things had happened. One was the diplomatic corps was spending a great deal of its time trying to explain to the world why we were defoliating the jungles of South Asia, and I wasn't particularly enthusiastic about the explanation. And but the other was I had a wonderful mentor and advisor at Grinnell who pointed out to me one day, he called me up and said, come on over for coffee, I have an observation I want to share with you. And so I went over to his house for coffee, and he said, you know, when you're talking about doing your work for your history course and your economics course and your politics,